The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
The closer we draw to Him, the more power we have in our life. And really, it's not just the Father that we're drawing close to. I'm sorry, I need to dismiss the children, or the youth, not children. They'll be slapping me for that. Praise God. All right. A couple things I need to share with you this morning as we get started, a couple announcements. First of all, Karen has asked for everyone to be considering helping out with the children's camp, church camp, for July 17th through the 24th. Now, this is pretty early. Thank you. However, we want to give everyone heads up. I went last year and worked. I want you to understand, this is a no-frills camp. When they say cabins, they mean cabins. You see out through the sidewalls. But it's wonderful because some of the kids, and probably many of them that come there are not churched. It's free. And some of your offering goes to help support this. The people there are there because they love Jesus. And they want to share Jesus with these kids. And I really want this congregation to be a part of that. So I want you to think about it. July 17th through the 24th. It'll be a tough week for you. But it's fun, it's exciting, and you know you're doing something for the kingdom of God. So everybody think about that and pray about it. Also, I have an announcement about our life groups. Our life groups are on hold right now. We are in, I know, Tina, you hate that. And I'm glad that you feel that way. I want everybody to feel that way, that we, you know, you enjoy life group. It's fun. It's exciting, and we learn and grow together. But most important, we build relationship with each other. This is community, and that's what the body of Christ needs, is community. We come together here on Sunday mornings, and, you know, it's okay. You know, I'm thankful that we're able to do this, and praise God, the Spirit of God moves. We have awesome worship. You get to hear the Word of God. Those things are wonderful, but you also need community among the body of Christ. We also need fellowship with each other. How many of you on this side have talked to people on this side this morning? A few of you have. Okay. Did you talk to everybody? No, of course not. Okay. Same here. You know, it just happens. We're here for a specific purpose, so we don't necessarily fellowship with each other. If you're here early, sometimes you get to. But the life groups, that's the purpose of those, to build up the body of Christ, to learn, to grow, and have fellowship with each other. So what we are doing, and we're in the process of restructuring those. We have some new people that potentially will be life group leaders. We're going to do a training beginning in February the 8th, for those who are going to be potential leaders, and then March the 1st, we're going to kick off our brand new life group programs. We're going to have some, leading up to that, we're going to have a life group fair where everybody can see the different life groups and sign up. We would, you know, our goal is to have 100% participation. We want you all to be involved with it because we believe so much in it. But there's exciting things happening with it. We're also going to be doing, every other month, we're going to be doing a congregational meeting where all the life groups come together. We do worship and have some of the people in the congregation, different preachers preach the word and teach the word. So it's going to be an exciting time. So I want everybody to know this is not a negative. This is a real positive. We're restructuring. We're getting things in order because we believe that the kingdom of God is ready to explode. We believe that God is going to do some incredible things. This world that we live in is shaking right now. Listen, you don't have to listen to very much news and to find out that things are happening all over the world. Wars and rumors of wars. It's happening. They're talking about economies. China's economy is slowing down. Japan is in recession. United States, I don't care what they say. All you got to do is watch and see Walmart's closing, Caterpillar's laying off 10,000 people, all these businesses closing down. Things are happening here in the United States as well. In fact, the Royal Bank of Scotland, a headline on CNN said, sell everything. The economy's about to sell, about to collapse. Gee whiz. I want to tell you something. Don't put your trust in the government. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't care what happens in the world. God is on our side. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior this morning, get that right before we leave this place. Time is running out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that was not my message. But we will talk about coming under the influence, because that's part of what I was talking about. I want to talk to you this morning about coming under the influence or being under the influence. Are you under the influence? Now, some of you in here can identify with being under the influence. I understand what it means to be under the influence of alcohol, drugs, and a lot of other things in my life that was under the influence. Let's take alcohol, for instance. If you come under the influence of alcohol, which it will influence you, there's no doubt about it, but it's one of those things that when I sat down and go to a club or something and I was drinking a beer, I'd drink one, two, three beers, and I didn't really realize that I was coming under the influence. But after, you know, about three, people would start to notice that I was coming under the influence. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you say things that you normally wouldn't say. You act in ways you normally, and the more you take it in, here's what I want you to understand. You come under the influence by receiving it into your body, taking more of it, whether it's drugs, alcohol, it doesn't matter, to the point that if you are driving down the streets of Pomeroy at 2 o'clock in the morning and you see some guy going down the street and you see him doing this, you know what's happening. He is almost completely under the influence of alcohol. I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable this morning. You know, many of you sitting in here have been in that position. You've been in that circumstance with under the influence. But here's what I want to talk to you really about this morning. Not about being under the influence of alcohol or drugs. I want to talk to you about being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one thing to be intoxicated with the world, be intoxicated with alcohol, and be intoxicated with drugs. It's another thing to be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. That's what He's looking for. He wants us. Listen, there is no shame and no condemnation in this place. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're struggling with drug addiction, alcoholism, or anything, any other addiction in your life, Jesus is bigger than that addiction. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. I want you to know that. Hallelujah. His power is above and beyond any addiction that you have. The thing that has to happen, though, as we go through this, the thing that has to happen is that you need, just like you give your life over to that addiction of drugs, alcohol, or whatever it is, you must give your life over to the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome it. Amen. You can't do it yourself. Look, you can try as hard as you want. You can work. You can go through every program that's ever been created. And unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't believe people are ever really set free. But I have talked to and been with many, including myself, that have been set free from drugs and alcohol because of Jesus. Yes. Yes. Glory.
Hallelujah.
You know? I can say that you just about half-heartedly believe that. Amen. But that's okay. Maybe by the time I'm done, you'll really believe it.
Amen.
I hope so. This is a process. John chapter 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wow. This is Jesus with his disciples before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Spirit there is pneuma, and it's a Greek word that we derive our English word pneumatic from, air-driven. The Spirit, the breath of Jesus, breathed on them because he knew it was the breath of God that was going to come into them some days down the road. The breath of God was going to fill them up. And they were going to give him complete control of their life. And it was going to change them from the inside out. It wasn't going to be a bunch of programs that they went through or formalities or religious steps or anything other than just the power of the Holy Spirit coming inside of them and changing them from the inside out. Hallelujah. That's what we need in a church today. There's been enough preaching about being good. There's been enough preaching and teaching about religious obligations. There's been enough preaching and teaching about doing things in a certain way, jumping through certain hoops. But the reality is, we will not get to where God wants us to be unless we give it all over to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, normally I consider myself a teacher of the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. The difference between a teacher and a preacher is a teacher will tell you the Word and a preacher will yell you the Word. God, I feel a little like a preacher this morning.
Awesome.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because I want you to get this. I want you to realize how powerful it is to just give your whole life over to the Spirit of God. It will change everything. All right. I'm not going to be talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. If you want to know more about that, I have a teaching. It's called "You Shall Receive Power." See those people back there, and you can get a CD of that. "You Shall Receive Power." It's a teaching about receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, and allowing the Spirit of God to take complete control. All right. So we're talking about coming under the influence or being intoxicated with the Spirit. The first thing that I want us to see is that when you become intoxicated with the Spirit, there's power in your life. Acts 1:8, Jesus said this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will be a witness. I've already made mention of the fact that when we believe and we receive and we pray and we see things take place. We are a witness that Jesus, when we walk around with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are a witness that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Jesus is really who he said he was. Look, if you grow up in the church, you may have some preconceived ideas about who Jesus is. You know, I grew up in the church. My parents took me to church. I went, I learned some things, but I decided that it wasn't my thing. You know why I decided it wasn't my thing? Because I didn't see any power in it. I saw some pleasure in the world, but I didn't see any power in Jesus. I saw a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, a lot of religion. But where's the power? I want to tell you, the power is available today. The power is real. The power is healing. The power is delivering. The power is setting free. Power. We need the power here in this place. It's power that we're looking for to be witnesses. Not just spoken word. Spoken words, if it's the word of God, it's fantastic. Praise God. But it means nothing to someone who doesn't believe. Tommy Lee grew up during the Depression. And he grew up in a Pentecostal home. And he learned about God and Jesus. But, you know, sometimes, how many know that sometimes you, even if you're surrounded by all these teachings and these things, that it just doesn't really become life to you till later on in life. And for him, he believed in Jesus and he knew the power of God. And he grew up, and he wanted to minister the gospel, and he married his sweetheart, Daisy, and they decided they were going to go to Africa to minister. They went to Africa, and they started preaching and teaching the Word of God, and nothing happened. People didn't come to the Lord. Nothing took place. And he left that place after some time. He was sick. He was discouraged. And he didn't know what was going on. And when he came back, he had determined that he was going to find out what it took to get close enough to the Lord so that when you preach, there's fire in it. So that when you teach, there's a witness to the power of God taking place. And he went to A.A. Allen's meetings. He went to Branham's meetings, and he saw people being healed and delivered and touched, and he started praying himself and asking God for the power to be able to see miracles take place. He went back to his church, and sure enough, he started praying and fasting and growing closer to the Lord, and suddenly things started happening. People started getting healed. He and his wife decided, well, if God is on the move, we're going back to Africa. So they went back to Africa and they started preaching the gospel again. And this time they didn't just do it with words, they did it with power. They became witnesses for Christ. People were healed and delivered and set free. At one point, 100,000 people saw a vision simultaneously of Jesus Christ. Because the power of God was available. T.L. Osborne was one of the most powerful evangelists in our recent past. God used him. Not because he was anything special, but because the Holy Spirit was special. And he grew as close to God as he could. He sought God. He decided that he knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. We have to decide there's power. In the name of Jesus. If we're going to come under the intoxication, the control of the Holy Spirit, we got to believe there's power in the name of Jesus. We got to believe that we can pray for Ashton and God's going to heal him. We got to believe that God's going to heal those who have sugar diabetes and cancer and all kinds of afflictions. Listen, those things come not because God has abandoned you, but because the enemy is attacking you. Jesus is real. The Word of God says this: Jesus came to heal all who were afflicted of the devil. Now, what does that tell you? I don't care what theology says. Well, maybe it's not God's will that you be healed. Well, if Jesus came that he might heal all who are afflicted of the devil, then the devil is the author of sickness and disease. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Maybe you have some kind of affliction that you haven't been healed of. Just don't blame God for it. Remember who the enemy is. Let's pray. Let's believe. Let's trust God. Today is a day of miracles. Today is a day, the days of Elijah are before us. The times are at hand. Daniel said, those who do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. I want to be strong and do exploits. The power of Jesus. Okay, first thing is power. Second thing I want to talk to you about is that when you come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're intoxicated, you get intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, it kills your flesh. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want everybody to jump up and down all at once here. But I want you to understand, it kills your flesh. Amen. You don't kill your flesh. The Spirit of God, He, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, that kills your flesh. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. There's where the life comes from. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You get a more abundant life when the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What is going to put to death the deeds of the flesh? The Holy Spirit that you allow to have control over you. The more alcohol you drink, the more you become under the influence. But here's what I want you to understand. You receive it. You are receiving it into your body. Pretty soon you become stupid. Amen. I've been in many of those stupid situations. Stupid because I have allowed this thing, this alcohol, to control me. But here, you want to be wise? Take in more, allow more control of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're not going to get any more of the Holy Spirit than you do when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. You get all you're going to get. Amen? But you can give Him more and more control in your life. And you do that by getting close to Him, seeking Him, hearing what He has to say, seeking His face. You only do it because you want to. If you're struggling with something in your life this morning, you're only going to overcome it when you allow the Holy Spirit to have more part of your life. More and more of who you are. Now I've gone back to teaching. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Begin with verse 25. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay? First of all, he says, if you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't be lying. If you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't allow wrath or anger arising inside of you. Does that mean that it won't happen? Of course it will. We're human. But who do we give control to? Let no one who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, what he may have, something to give him who has need. So if you stole, you stop that because you're under the influence of your life changes. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Boy, that's a good one for the body of Christ. In your work situation, what are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? Who are you condemning? Who are you talking about? Are you edifying and encouraging people? If you're not, you're not giving the Holy Spirit enough control in your life. That's something we can all work on in our household. Amen? That's where it should begin. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for the saints. These are things that he's just reminding the body of Christ. Look, these things shouldn't be in your life. It's not a condemnation. It's an encouragement to give your life over to the Holy Spirit so that you will have power to overcome all these things in your life. Draw closer and closer to the Lord. The last thing I want to talk about is I want you to experience joy in your life. A life completely under the influence of the Holy Spirit experiences joy. And when we talk about joy, we're not just talking about happiness. We're talking about experiencing the relationship that we have with the Lord. Understanding that everything in our life is not going to be pleasant. But we can still have a joy in the Lord. John 5:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. How do we have joy? We keep the commandments. We do what Jesus told us to do. Love God and love people. We fulfill the commandments when we walk in the things that Jesus told us to walk in. When Nehemiah was building the wall, and he was trying to encourage the people because it was a tough job. They were rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And he told them, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't care what you're doing. It may be intense labor, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is what other people need to see in your life. The joy of the Lord is what your family needs to experience. If you want to make a difference, make sure you have the joy of the Lord in your life today and every day. It's the joy of the Lord. Not always easy, but we can walk in it. You know, John Newton was late 1700s, he was a sailor, and he was a part of shipping slaves from Africans to Britain, and he had a Christian background. His mother, early on, his mother had raised him when he was very young to understand the Word of God, and she died, and she was a huge influence. But his father was a sailor, and I mean a real sailor, and if you know what I'm talking about, he talked like a sailor and acted like a sailor. Well, he was influenced by his father, and he started going on the shipping with his father, and he eventually started as a captain, and he was bringing Africans from South Africa to Britain. And he said that sometimes that it was horrible the way these people were treated. They were put in the cargo holds, and it was hardly any fresh air for them to breathe. And of course, they got seasick, and there was vomit and excrement of all kinds in there. It was terrible. Sometimes over half of them died on their way to becoming slaves. Man, how can mankind be so cruel to one another? But it's true. Some of the same things happen here in the United States. How can we be so cruel? Well, we are. We're cruel people, except for Christ. But one day, and he was wrestling with this, he was recalling what his mother had taught him, and one day there was a great storm, and he was on the deck on the ship, and under great duress, the ship started to break apart, and things were happening, and a great wave came and swept a man right beside him, swept him off the deck to his death. He lashed himself to a part of the boat, and he told the Lord, he said, if you get me through this, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. Well, it took him a little while to fulfill that calling, but he did become a pastor later on. In fact, he got to the point where he was helping promote the legislation that eventually William Wilberforce pushed through their government in order to abolish slavery. But this man, knowing the kind of background that he had, one day he sat down and he penned these words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We all know this. We've all heard it. But he came to the realization that no matter what his past was, he still had the joy of the Lord. He was saved by the grace of God. We're all saved by the grace of God, not by our own actions, not by our deeds, but because we have an awesome God who is full of grace and mercy, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we can be saved, that we can receive him, that we can live an abundant life. It can be a life full of joy, not always of happiness. Look, I was talking with Eddie this morning. He has a a good man, a godly brother in Christ that has served the Lord for many years. Good, positive guy. Teaches you guitar. Yeah. And when he went for his guitar lesson, he found out that this man had lost his 34-year-old son just recently in a heart attack. It was the second son that he had lost. And, you know, he said it, you know, he was real upbeat, but his wife was having a difficult time. We've served the Lord all our life. Why are these things happening? I can't answer that. There's not always an answer for everything. If you think life is going to be easy and wonderful and smooth all the time just because you serve Jesus Christ, you are in for a rude awakening. But I can tell you this, you can come out on the other side. You can. You can be better on the other side than you were before you went through the fire. You can come out. I mean, it looks like you're going to burn up just like the three Hebrew children. It looks like you're going to die in that furnace. But when you come out, you won't even smell like smoke. Amen? I'm telling you, this is our God. I want you to have some hope for your future. Recently, I heard Jensen Franklin talking about Ruth and how important it is. The book of Ruth is an exceptional book. If you have the opportunity, sit down and read that. It's about redemption, or the kinsman redeemer. You know, that Boaz was her kinsman redeemer. And it's a great story. Ruth, instead of turning her back on Naomi, Naomi's family went to Moab. Now, that's the key to this story. They went to Moab. And Moab was a place that Israelites were not really supposed to go or be in contact with the Moabites. And I'll fill you in on that. But she went there. Her husband died. Her sons died. They had both taken Moabite wives. And she told the daughters, go back to your families because I have nothing to offer you. I'm going back to my people. And Ruth hung on. She said, no, I want to go with you. Now, here's the key to this. She not only said, I want to be with you, but she said, I want your God to be my God. It wasn't just about a relationship with Naomi. It was about Naomi's relationship with God and how she had been an example to Ruth. I want your God to be my God. And Ruth went with her. They went back. And of course, what happened was Boaz was a family member. And eventually Boaz became the kinsman redeemer, which meant that he paid off all their debts. And they were able to come into his family. And Ruth became a part of Boaz's family. She was his wife. It's incredible. It's an incredible story because it talks about someone who is outside of redemption. And there's a way made for redemption through the kinsman redeemer. Jesus is your kinsman redeemer. But here's what I want you to think about. Let's go way back. Let's go back to Abraham and Lot. Lot had left Abraham because there was some conflict between them, the shepherds. And Abraham said to Lot, he said, listen, you choose which direction you want to go. If you want, and I'll go the other direction. Lot, of course, chose the best land. But Abraham was not deterred. He knew God was on his side. And God blessed him wherever he went, wherever he put his feet. Lot went in the direction where the soil was great, the cities were awesome, and everything was provided. He ended up, little by little, he ended up living in the midst of two of the most decadent societies on the face of the earth at that time, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so horrible that when the angels that came that was going to destroy the city that Abraham pled with, when they came to destroy that city, the men of the city surrounded those angels and wanted to abuse them. Lot took them into his house. Those angels told Lot and his family, you're the only ones who's going to be saved. Pack your bags, we're getting out of this place because God's sending brimstone and fire. And he said this, listen, it's important. You don't look back. He said, do not look back for any reason. If you serve Jesus Christ, don't look back. Don't look back at that world. Don't look back at those addictions. Don't look back at those things that brought you temporary pleasure. Because Lot's wife paid the price. There's always redemption in Jesus Christ. There's always freedom. Even if you look back, you can still come forward. But I want you to always look forward. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Now here, the next thing that happened is pretty weird. And that is, Lot's two daughters thought they were the only ones left on the face of the earth. So they got their father drunk and had a sexual relationship with him. From that relationship, the Moabite tribe was created. Remember, Ruth was from Moab. So Ruth was a product of incest. Her family line. Here's what I want you to understand. It doesn't matter what your past is. You may be a product of incest. You may be a product of alcoholism. Maybe your family was alcoholics. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your past. Jesus don't care about your past. He cares about your future. Amen. That's what he wants. You to know that you have a future. And when Ruth came, Israel and Jerusalem, it was an incredible opportunity. She had no idea what was going to happen, but her kinsman redeemer came and rescued her. And God made a way where there looked like there was no way. When Naomi left Moab and came back to Jerusalem, people called her by her name, and she said, no, my name means misery. Call me misery. But she was miserable, and then God made a way. Now, here's what happened. This is very important, because in Ruth's future, something incredible was going to happen. Ruth and Boaz had a son, Obadiah. Obadiah had a son, Jesse. Jesse had a son, David. Jesus came from the lineage of David. In Ruth's future was the Messiah, Jesus. If you can always remember that Jesus is not only in your future, but in your present, you will be an overcomer. He has answers for you. He's on your side. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what religion says. It doesn't matter what good meaning Christians might say to you. The truth is, Jesus, if you know him as your personal Savior, he's on your side. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.